It's just an, you know, they have a contest, you know, NASA has these types of things where colleges, different people submit, you know, different proposals. And one way to shake the radiation would be to develop a house made of ice, you know, get the water out of the surface of Mars. And it would take a year to get enough water to, you know, fill up the walls and the ceiling with this ice. And it'll be clear ice, so you'll get light coming in. There's a lot of ideas there, so we're a long way from getting our first QSO, you know, first QSL card from Mars. But someday they'll do it. I think it's going to be further off than a lot of us think. Elon Musk keeps pushing for 2025. I think he's up to 2030 now. You know, just like the heavy lift vehicle he wanted to send up. You know, he'll get it done, but it's already 3 years behind.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
As I see it, Paul, a self-sustaining colony on Mars has to grow its own food. You can't possibly afford to continuously bring up the amount of food required. As you've heard me say so often, the air, water, and food you consume in 1 year, one human being, has roughly the volume of your house and roughly the mass of your house. That's how much flows through your body in 1 year. Supply that with a food chain from the earth is out of the question. The dollars are just much too high. So you got to have your own farm on Mars. Well, the word farm on Mars, when you've got something like one third the amount of solar sunlight hitting it, you got a whole lot of solar wind particles, radiation. The radiation is going to be destroying your plants. And for your plants to carry on photosynthesis, the majority of the raw materials that grow that tree in your backyard did not come from the roots. It came from the air. The majority of the mass of that tree is the carbon that's in all of that wood. That carbon came from the air, the carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide that the plant is breathing. Let me drop this. So Mars has almost a vacuum-like atmosphere. You have to gather a lot of that Martian atmosphere, bring it up to something like 14.7 pounds per square inch in a greenhouse. The greenhouse has to be super strong to maintain that air pressure without crushing the walls and the ceiling. And even then, you've got to live on one-third the amount of sunlight. So your photosynthesis is going to proceed at an extremely slow rate from what we're used to on that garden in your backyard. So to grow your own food on Mars, as I see it, that represents a very serious problem. And if you don't grow your own food, you can't afford to continuously feed those people. We call it a one-way mission. You're going to go there and not come home. What happens if you go there and we're not going to feed you anymore? The Q2N, K2RAW.
Yeah, this is a question I have. How long is summer? Because only in summer you have a 70 degrees and only during the day. At night you have 100 degrees minus. How long is summer?
A Martian year is 600 and some odd days. A Martian day is 24 and a half hours. So the day is almost the same as us. The tilt of the axis of the planet is almost the same as us. But the Martian year is essentially two of our years, West, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. That's what they say is 70 degrees, only summer, and only during the daytime. But at the same time, at the same night, you could have up to minus 100 degrees Fahrenheit, which would translate to 73 degrees of Celsius in minus. And to achieve.
And by normal standards, that's extremely cold, without very good insulation. And even with the insulation being very good, you still need a source of heat. What a lot of people don't realize is that lots of people think that freezing weather's going to come along, and I don't want to freeze my valuable plants in the backyard. I'll put a blanket over them. Sounds good. Absolutely not. You put a blanket over your plants. If the temperature of the air goes down to minus 10, your plants are going to get to minus 5. The blanket only slows down the rate at which the cooling of the plant takes place. It doesn't change the ultimate temperature. The reason why a blanket over a human being will keep you warm is because the human being, if he's alive, is continuously generating 130 watts of heat. 450 BTUs per hour come out of your body because you're continuously metabolizing food, air, and water. So you're a furnace. Your body is a furnace. And inside a good blanket, you can stay warm. You put a blanket over your plants, and that doesn't keep them warm. It just slows down the rate at which they're going to cool off. They're still going to cool off down to the minus 70 degrees centigrade. WS2N, K2RIW.
Yeah, I know that. Well, you know, same thing with your house, you know, insulation. All that does is delay the inevitable. If your heating system in the house is no longer working, eventually, if it's zero outside, it's going to be zero in the house. But, you know, with good insulation, you know, you might be able to delay that, you know, 6 hours or 12 hours, depending on how well your house is insulated. So, Dick, you got to get a copy of the 6 episodes. It was a mini-series called Mars from the National Geographic Channel. I don't know how you're going to get that copy. But they did a very good job. And they had the beginnings of a large area of where they actually started growing plants. And the guy says, you know, by the time I'm done, we're going to have acres and acres. As far as the eye can see, you're going to have this. So. Now, the other thing you said, 14.7 pounds per square inch. Maybe they could grow plants in a little reduced pressure. You know, maybe half that. I'm sure the botanists have tested all that out. You know, they'll know what kind of plants grow good and what kind of plants don't grow good. But still, you know, you're going to have even if you bring up 50 people at a time, you have thousands of people up there. You mean to tell me there's not going to be any, you know, chicken sandwiches or Burger King or, you know, no meat eaters? They're all going to be vegetarians. Wow. Back to you, Dick.
If you grow yourself a very hardy plant, can you make the plant survive at 7 pounds per square inch instead of 14 pounds per square inch? Yes. But there's a catch. A very high percentage of the raw ingredients that the plant uses to do its photosynthesis, to make its carbohydrates, a very high percentage of the raw ingredients comes from the air. You give that plant half air pressure, the rate at which it can suck the ingredients out of that air is going to be cut down by 2 to 1. So your plants are going to be growing their food at half air pressure. The plants are going to be growing the food at half the rate if you had full sunlight, but you've only got 1/3 the sunlight. If it takes an acre of property being very well cultivated to support a single human being on planet Earth with good rich soil and just the right plants, just the right fertilizer and whatever, I think 1 acre maybe can keep a human being alive on Earth. On Mars, I'll bet you it's going to take 10 acres per human being. I just don't see it happening. WS2N, K2LIW.
Yeah, I know, it's pretty depressing. And then all it takes is one little meteorite to come flying out of the sky and hit this glass structure. You know, you'd have to have each one separated, you know, a bulkhead for every couple hundred feet, you know, in case one gets damaged, you know, you're not going to destroy your whole acre of greenhouse. they'll have to come up with all those cures. Now, one of the things that they addressed was the radiation. They want, in this movie, they want to live in the lava tubes. So, you'll see how they eventually do that. You know, this is essentially what you're doing is getting underground. So that we know would work. And also power, they did address that. Which I was, I was surprised that they said solar cells are okay, but you know we need nuclear power too. So
I have a comment.
That's part of the problem. You know, you do need a lot of power to have a self-sustaining city of even 20 people or 50 people. You really need nukes to keep warm, to keep electricity. I do that.
Yeah, go ahead, Wes. Wes wants to make a comment. K2RIW in the tech man.
Yeah, actually, that's a very interesting moment. If I believe correctly, in 1998, we got a patent for RAP system, and that was from geophysics ability to see everything what is between the ground level to the depth of the perimeter. In 1999, I believe, Alexander Martens from CDC NASA put us in NASA a program when I was a chief of scientific team and principal investigator, and there was a competition of around 260 companies in Singapore. And the subject was on the exploration of underground of strata of planets and their moons. We got the first place. There were three companies that was left over, and they were competing. There was a SPI program. And what I'm telling you is because that all was done by NASA under the that time NASA thinking that heat need in order to be conserved, no matter what heat comes from, need mass. So at that time their thinking was that the mass is the ground. The air cannot be 100 times thinner than the earth, cannot hold heat. So the only way to preserve the heat, if there would be any heat created, or the heat would be gathered, is the ground. For that, they were in need to find out what is being the ground, what kind of layers, what kind of sediments, and what is the structure. But right at the time of President Clinton era, the NASA was limited with funds. So been told that we've got at that time the first place, NASA dropped the project. So I didn't get a grant, and my team didn't get a grant. Nobody got a grant. But I wonder, and that's a question. Did NASA approach to heat, which is essential for anything, change during those years? And to achieve?
I don't think I understand the question. Maybe, Paul, you do. WS2N, K2RIW.
Well, it sounded like you were saying that they had a program, or was wondering if they developed a program to store heat. They were going to use the ground to store heat. I know presently they have a system where they plan on using wax as a way to store heat. In fact, it was developed, and they did send a test piece up to the space station. Eventually, they're going to send it out to the moon. And it's a way to store heat. You take wax, this very hard type of wax, and it actually almost melts it. It becomes very soft. And then when you need the heat, it turns, somehow it re-radiates itself back, and then eventually turns back to a solid again. They're using that almost like a ground type of situation. That's the only thing I can think of that even relates to what Wesley's talking about. Otherwise, I might be way off. Back to you, Dick.
Almost in. What they were trying to do is they were thinking, if we create a heat based on nuclear means, what would be the structure that would be able to isolate the heat from the going out, and what would be the structure that would hold heat? Now, if we use the hot days and we accumulate the heat, where can we conserve that heat, and how we can do it? So they were thinking, okay, the natural body that is kind of solid is the soil, Martian soil. So that was the whole idea on the NASA thinking. So my question was, did that thinking change?
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
No, but it might have evolved into something that I was talking about, wax. Actually using wax as a way to do something like that. Wow. Let me drop it.
You're going to need an awful lot of volume of wax. And where's that going to come from on Mars, Paul? Let me drop it.
I'm talking about it was space flight to the moon, around the dark side of the moon, you know, that type of thing.
You're going to need the soil of Mars to protect your habitat. The very first time we had Mariner spacecraft fly by Mars, take some pictures and send it home, we looked at those pictures and we were all horrified. The majority of the Martian surface is filled up with craters, not very different than the moon. Lots and lots of craters. Millions of pounds of stuff fall onto the Earth as meteors every single day. Whenever you watch a meteor shower, you're just seeing the really big ones that are coming in at high velocity and give you a whole lot of light. There's a lot of stuff hitting the Earth every single day. The atmosphere stops almost all of that from hitting the ground. On Mars, you've got 0.7% of the atmosphere that you've got on Earth. The majority of all those particles hitting Mars become meteorites. Therefore, your greenhouse is going to be poked with a meteorite almost every single day. So the growing of your food in that greenhouse, which has got air pressure being sustained so that the plants can have something to operate with, you're going to have a zillion individual chambers, as you said earlier, Paul, let me drop it, to protect you from depressurization when your greenhouse gets punctured by a meteorite. And you're going to get meteorites hitting your greenhouse every single day, because your greenhouse has to have lots of acres of area to grow enough food to be self-sustaining. So just the raw ingredients to grow your food to be self-sustaining on Mars, as I see it, represents a pretty serious problem. Oh, we can dream about a great big long Congo line coming from the Earth, continuously supplying air, water, and food. It's not going to happen. If you're going to put a colony there, they've got to be self-sustaining. And I can't see any way to be self-sustaining without growing food. You'd like to bring a cow to Mars. And what's the cow going to eat? And can you imagine putting a space suit on a cow? WS2N, K2RI, there you go, Paul.
Yeah. If the cows go, then I'll go. But Elon Musk, before he even built his first rocket, he wanted to sign a contract with Russia to use one of their proton rockets or something of that nature to send a, well, you know, they've got a lot of different rockets, but probably about four or five different versions of rockets they could use. He wanted to get one of them, I think it was one of the solid booster ones, one of the small ones, and send something to Mars. He was going to send a small greenhouse, very small greenhouse, and have it open up on Mars and actually start growing, and he was going to have a camera on there, and it was going to take pictures and send the pictures back and say, look, there's life on Mars, just to get people interested in it. He thought that would be a good way to do it. He found out the cost of doing just like trying to get one plant to grow on Mars, and he gave up, and That's, you know, in the interviews I've seen with him, he said, that's it. He's going to build his own rocket. So, I'll give you an idea of what it must cost to do something like that. And that's why he's going with reusability to bring down the cost, but to start that conveyor belt system of stuff going to Mars, you know, he knows it has to be self-sustaining as well. He does know that. He's not in the dark about that. Back to you, Nick.
Yeah, you hit on the one possible way that colonizing Mars is almost possible. If with very high technology, X number of decades from now, if you have the ability to take every single molecule of vapor, air, fluid, and solid, take every single molecule that ever comes out of a human being and thoroughly recycle it. When you're consuming whatever you consume 24/7, you're consuming 2,500 kilocalories per day, 130 joules per second, 130 watts, 24/7, 450 BTUs per hour. Use any units you want. Tremendous amounts of energy continuously flows into a human being in order for you to stay alive in the air, food, and water that you're metabolizing. If your machinery ran at 100% efficiency, your machinery needs more than 130 watts of energy 24/7 in order to reconvert your waste products back into a consumable material so you can use it again. Let me drop it. I think you're going to have great difficulty running the machinery at 30% efficiency. Therefore, you need 500 watts per human being 24/7 to run the machinery that does the recycling. And you better capture every single molecule of air, food, and water. Every molecule that comes out of a human being, you've got to capture every molecule, because if you lose it, you've lost the raw material in order to be self-sustaining. So completely recycling every single molecule, there you stand a chance. But for Mars to supply you the raw ingredients to run your greenhouse, air pressure, protection from meteorites, protection from radiation, and solar energy. You need solar, you need great big mirrors to capture enough sunlight to be aimed at your greenhouse to keep the plants happy, to have Earth-like sunlight. Let me drop this. So one way or another, you need tremendous number of acres of raw area of Mars to gather enough sunlight, to have enough area, to grow enough plants, to be self-sustaining if you're not thoroughly recycling every molecule. I'm beginning to think the only way it can be done is recycling. Over to you, Paul, K2LIW.
Yeah, especially with the water, you know. To grow those plants, you know, it does take water. Yeah, I know they have better ways of doing it than the average farmer here. You know, they have the hydroponics and all of that. We need hardly anything. But you still need moisture. You still need water. And that's eventually got to be recycled. Just like people, you're going to have to recycle it somehow from the plants. You can't just, you know, eat the good part of the plant and, you know, eat the tomato and throw the rest of it away. You got to get the moisture out of that. It's going to be a headache. I mean, just to grow grass here, you know. I try to grow grass every year, try to make it look good. Well, you need water, and I'm putting water on it, especially with a drought, you know. Like, we've had, like, drought after drought. And I don't think there's enough water in my cock. I'm going to really do a 100% job here. It's a tremendous amount of water. And I'm not even eating this stuff. I just try to turn green. Back to you, Dick. WS2N.
I think you're saying you've got a significant sprinkler system keeping your lawn green. When I was at your house, you got a good-looking lawn. I've got a very yucky-looking lawn. Anybody who visits me will say, where's your lawn? Even my crabgrass isn't healthy. But, you're putting quite a bit of water on your lawn to try to keep it green. Are you also putting on some chemistry from time to time, Paul? Over to you, K2IW.
Yeah, I don't go nuts. You know, I try to kill the crabgrass. You know, that fertilizing crabgrass killing beginning of the season. After that, don't have to worry too much. I believe in cutting the lawn, let all the grass go back into the lawn. We're supposed to do that in Islip anyway. The mulching system. You know, you're not really supposed to throw the grass out in the garbage. Mostly everybody does it, but I do the mulching thing, which I think saves on fertilizer. And sprinkler systems, I don't bother with an in-ground system. You just got a million hoses and all over, it's just as easy to do that. I can make changes easy if I want to, and, you know. I guess if I get older and can't do that anymore, I would go with the underground system, but it's doable. But wow, a lot of water comes out of those sprinklers. It's unbelievable. Back to you, Dick.
So you've got one of these sprinklers that goes click, 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 or you've got an arbor-like sprinkler. And whichever one you're using, you move it around to various portions of the lawn. You got a couple of them running simultaneously with multiple hoses. I think you've got at least an acre of property, as I see it, Paul. Go ahead.
Yeah, a little less than that, you know. But, you know, and a bunch of trees here and there, so that cuts back on the grass situation. But, yeah, sprinklers, and then they make these really good timers, you know, these wind-up timers. You put them in line. So let's say if you wanted to, theoretically, you could put out 10 sprinklers, you know, all over the lawn with a bunch of hoses. And you have these timers, and you just put them on it. If you want one to go on 15 minutes, you wind it up, and that's it. Made by Orbit. You know, each one is like, they're inexpensive, like $9.99 from a Walmart store. They put out 3 or 4 of these sprinkler things on timers. Let's say two going at one time. You know, you could do, I wouldn't want to go more than an acre, but if it was bigger than an acre, that would be too much. But it's doable. You buy the good sprinklers. I'll get the pulsating ones from Craftsman. They're good for life. Providing Sears don't go out of business, actually that won't be a problem. Because now Craftsman is involved with Ace Hardware. But, if they break, or they haven't broken, but if they break, you can bring them back. Back to you, Dick.
So in the summertime, to properly irrigate your lawn, you're using how many sprinklers, which I guess is the same number of hoses, how many hoses, how many sprinklers, and how many timers? And these timers I'm going to pick a number. So they run the sprinkler for 2 hours a day, every day, and maybe you're running 5 sprinklers to cover all the lawn. So how's the mathematics on this working out for you, Paul? K2LAW?
I guess no different than somebody with an in-ground system. But, you know, I'll put, let's say, 2 sprinklers on 1 timer. So let that run 15, 20 minutes. And then put another set on. And then the other time, I just used that for the backyard. I just used one sprinkler, you know, just moved that around a little bit in the backyard. So that really cuts back on it. So let's see, 2, 4, 5. And then along the run of the house, there's a fence. You saw that long fence that you were sending CW over by whistling. Well, that fence runs to the side of the property, so I just have these inline ones that they're not pulsating. They just, you know, they come out. And if you want them in 360 degrees, you can. And they're in line. There's like three of them. Just roll that out and put that on a timer once in a while. Good enough. That's about it. You still go through a lot of water. I forget how many gallons, but back to you, Dick.
Hey, pulsating sprinkler, if you've got enough water pressure, covers a circle. I'm going to pick a number. Is it 40 feet in diameter or pole? Over to you, KQRIW.
Yeah, well, that's what they claim, 40. I'm going to go with 30 feet. But, you know, don't forget, everybody's pressure might be a little different. You know, I had a gauge at one time, and my average pressure is probably just over 50 pounds. Ideally, for you know, any house, you're supposed to be in the 50 to 55 pound area. So I'm probably 51. And I get about, I'd say about 30 degrees radius. So that's not bad, you know, 60 feet diameter, you know. Back to you, Dave.
When you're doing all of this watering of your front lawn and your back lawn on a hot summer day, how many dollars per month is that water costing you, Paul? Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. I figured it out. It's going by gallons. I don't remember. It's less than my neighbors. My neighbor's probably 200 a month. He's got underground system. I'm probably half of that. Back to you, Dick.
I'm probably very foolish, but I do no lawn watering. And my lawn looks it. It's pretty yucky. My water bill is $6.50 per 2 months. Come back to you, Paul, K2LIW.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, when I first moved in, it was like that for a couple of years. I'm not going to water this, you know. But then you start throwing grass down, and you know, look at this is dying, you know. So I better start watering this. Next thing you know, years go by. Next thing you know, you got sprinklers flying all over the place. Back to you, Dick. WS2N.
Okay, I'm going to stop a little early tonight. I've got to be up early tomorrow morning for something. So, you guys have listened to TechNet number 1633 of the series that began way back in 1982, 34 and a fraction years ago. Bye-bye, you all. We'll see you next week. And back to you, Paul, for any final comments. And if anybody is still awake, as I pass it over to Paul, Paul's going to give a little bit of a delay in case you've got a final question on the space subject matter for Paul. WS2N, for a final with some delay, K2RIW.
DXM with a question.
Okay, once again, we didn't hear the beginning. Something EXM. Go right ahead.
K2RIW in the group, WB2 Golf X-ray mic. Dick, is KC2WGB okay?
Yes, he is. He's recovering from a situation. He's going to be back with us. Hang in there. And I've talked to him a few times, and I'm not too worried. If that's what the information you're looking for, Mr. GXM, K2IW.
Thank you, Dick. Rich here, wishing everyone a happy New Year. WB2GXM out.
You got it, Paul.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Okay, 73. This was the first net of the year, so we'll be back next week. Hopefully, John will make it, and we'll catch you then. We'll continue on. Have a good week, 73, Dick. Everybody else, WS to enter.
Yeah, thanks, yeah. Thank you very much, guys. I wonder how did you make your New Year Eve, Dick and Paul?
I spent my New Year's Eve in a movie theater watching the movie called Passengers, and it was a lot of fun. Over to you, Paul.
Yeah, I'll be doing that very soon. And I must have recorded 20 Twilight Zone episodes. They're terrific. Probably seen them all, but I watch them again anyway. Very good. Have a good night. Back to you, Wesley. Hope all went well for you over the holidays, and we'll catch you next week.
Did you go to a great big party, Wesley?
No, I believe there was a big change when I met the guy known as Dick, KJRIW, and that gave me after the 9/11. I had some trauma. I had some something left over. That gave me just a different attitude and different hope. So thank you very much, guys. But that's my own personal opinion. I never voice it this way. I believe that TechNet was something significant for me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you had an office in the World Trade Center at the incident of 9/11. And I guarantee that's giving you some nightmares. Good thing you weren't there that day. Bye-bye for now, Wes.
Thank you very much. Yes, I was lucky. I was late. Thank you very much. Have a good night, guys.
Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL amateur radio repeater system. Net tonight at 8:30. W2VL repeater system.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL amateur radio repeater system. Net tonight at 8:30. W2VL repeater system. Good morning. The time is 5 a.m. Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL amateur radio repeater system. At 8:30, W2VL repeater system. At 8:30, welcome to the W2VL repeater. 8:30. This is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
KD2KNH.
Net tonight at 8:30 W2VL repeater system.
N1RY, listening.
The best SWR possible. All of those things will help.
Jonathan, back to you.
Yeah, no, things seem to be working semi-well. Yeah, thank you for the net suggestion, Richie. Yeah, I checked into a different net yesterday, 7272, which I was able to be heard. So, things are working. Now we just have to get them working better. Anyway, nice to have a little bit of time over the New Year's holiday to do those things. KDQ-PHN, I guess over to NTVL.
Okay. Well, check out that net. They're on, I forget now, I think it's from 8 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon, every day, except weekends they go off at 12. I've been on there as a nice group. Anybody is allowed to come on there. It's a totally open net. But if you want to join, it's only $2 a year. They will give you an E-Scars number. Richie?
Okay. And again, Jonathan, it's not a bad thing to do. It just lets you know that you're getting out there. And sometimes, depending on who checks into the deck, you'll know how far out you're getting. But again, like you say, you made a couple of contacts, so that's a good start. And as long as your SWR is fine, then it's just a matter of breaking through the noise levels and things. Let's see, what else? Well, let me send it back to you, Johnson. I'm not going to stay in that long. K2KNB.
Yeah, I need to run here in a minute as well, taking the kids to the museum. But, yeah, no, SWR, I've ordered an SWR meter. I need to check that out. I'm using an antenna tuner. I think it's probably reasonably okay on most of 40 and 20 because it tunes very quickly. It won't tune on 80 at all, but then again, the antenna's not designed for 80. Anyway, so I'm going to say 73 is on NTUE, 2EO's final. Thank you for the chat, and hopefully you have today off. But if not, have a good day to everyone, and again, Happy New Year. KD2BHN will be clear on NTUE's final.
Okay, Jonathan, you take care, and Richie, you take care too. And I have some phone calls to make, but unfortunately I gotta wait till tomorrow when everything is open. Richie, over to you, sir. And again, thank you for your help, you know what I mean. And you guys take care, and to you.
Hi, Jonathan. 7-3 to you. Happy New Year. And Richie, whatever, just do what you have to do, but let Amy make her phone calls first before you start doing stuff. Anyway, and the other thing that I said, Richie, and you're doing well, I think, just be careful about how much you're on the radio, because, again, it has to do with the voice and so forth. So you just use it judiciously. And you're doing fine. Anyway, this is KCKMB. Have a good day.
When are you installed as president? Are you president currently?
I didn't quite understand the question, but as of yesterday, I'm the president.
No, that was the question. Well, congratulations. I'm okay.
Okay, sounds like you're having a little trouble with the key on the microphone, is that correct?
Oh, no, you know my hands. Nobody was there.
Okay, I think you are getting some interference, which we'll try to track down, obviously, or whatever. Okay, but we will catch you later, Richie. Until we are okay to K and B.
Okay, take care, and to we are.
Mm-hmm.
net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
Okay, well, there's no reason.
You wait for the courtesy tone, then wait maybe 2 seconds more in case anybody else wants to get it. I hope you had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we'll catch you later. This is NCO.
Very good, sir. Have a great day and a great New Year. Today is the, I guess, the observed day. Yesterday was the day. And I hope you had a great one. Bless you and your family and all that good stuff. And, hey, gotta run.
You take care. We'll see you down the lot. And 2 hours clear.
HN Mobile listening.
Oh, Jonathan. And to me, I'm calling.
How are you doing this morning, Rich? Yeah, we spoke earlier. I'm just about to get on the LIE and heard someone ka-chunk and thought I'd check in.
Hi, Jonathan. You know what I meant to ask you? You have a...
Sorry, what did you mean to ask me?
You have a slight Midwestern accent. Are you maybe from Ohio or Michigan?
Actually, I'm from Rhode Island, but I've heard that before. I've heard also that I sound like I'm from Virginia. I don't know. I guess I've lived in too many different places to have much of a distinctive accent anymore.
All right. So it's not my ears, even if you've heard that before. All right. How you doing today? I got up very late today. Someone takes care of me in the morning. Just went to get me breakfast.
Sorry, just a moment. I'm going to gas.
Didn't get that, but I'll stand by.
Okay, Katie's BHM will be on the side. KD2PHM.
And KD2PHM. And to me, what happened?
Well, my car and I had gas and air on the tires, so it's all good.
And then talk slower.
Well, my car now has gasoline and air on the tires, so it's all good.
Okay. You gave me a chance to eat my breakfast. Have a fellow here that takes care of me during the day. Even though it's not on my care plan, he goes every morning for me. He got me 2 eggs sunny side up and a sausage patty. He's a real nice fella.
Sounds like a very fine breakfast the day after New Year's Day. That's excellent. I'm happy to have the day off. We're taking the kids to the museum, so just driving.
Museum, John.
40 meters was somewhat active this morning. 20 was dead, but bad propagation conditions, but not always terrible.
Well, when the sunspot count gets lower, 160, 80, and 40 get better. Did you know that?
Indeed, yeah, it's pretty dramatic, but, just operating the HD from the car right now, and, fussing around to see how that works, but, it's been a week of spending a lot of time and energy building my station up.
Thanks. Very good. By the way, the timing was perfect. About the time you, got back to me, I finished my breakfast.